Pam Hopman, best-selling author and financial businesswoman, on the Business Radio Network with Empower You.
Good afternoon. This is Pam Hopman, and welcome to Empower You, the radio show about being empowered and empowering others. You know, everybody thinks they know what empower means, but I wanted to be specific, so I looked it up in the dictionary, and it's actually a verb, and it means to give someone the authority or power to do something. But the second definition I liked even better. It said to make someone stronger and more confident, especially in controlling their life and claiming their rights. So how have you been empowered, and how have you empowered others? Today we have three wonderful women with me, and we're going to talk about them each in turn, and they're going to tell you a little bit about the answers to those questions, and we have a few others as well. So welcome, everyone. My first guest is Kasia Yuska. Kasia is an independent consultant with Arbonne International, which is the number one global brand for healthy living inside and out. She's a global entrepreneur and marketing professional, and she's dedicated to showing others how to live a pure, healthy lifestyle. Also, she's been happily married to her wonderful husband, Howard Kessler, for 25 years. Congratulations and welcome, Kasia.
Thanks, Pam. It's so nice to be here. I'm excited to be on your initial broadcast.
Well, I'm excited to have you here. It's really good to have, you know, warm, friendly faces all around. It makes the whole thing go better. Our second guest today is a business coach and author, Stephanie Rising. Stephanie has helped over 100 small business owners achieve greater leadership, proficiency, profitability, and sanity. Stephanie specializes in the complexities of partnerships and family-owned companies, including personal dynamics, strategic planning, operations, and marketing. Her book, DISC, Leverage Your Nature, Increase Your Sales, is available on Amazon. And she's currently working on another book. And what's that book going to be about, Steph?
I call the working title The Agony and the Ecstasy. And it's all about working with your family members and how to do that and survive.
Well, I know there's many people who can't wait for you to finish that book, and they're going to be waiting with bated breath for that one.
Thank you.
Our third guest today is Tabitha Danlow. Tabitha is a professional certified coach and a certified professional integrative coach. She specializes in business and life coaching and loves helping entrepreneurs to make more money and to help everyone to be more authentically courageous. While her friends say that she's always been a coach, she's been a professional coach now for over 3 years. She has over 13 years of experience in the world of entrepreneurship, business strategy, leadership, and sales. She works with a wide range of clients, including startups to multi-million brands and 15-year-olds to 75-year-olds. She lives in Tucson, Arizona with her husband, Jared, and happy anniversary,
Thank
1 year.
Thank you. 1 year as of yesterday. Can you believe it?
Yeah, and she has two fur babies who I've seen, Shadow and Scooby. Our fur babies like to play together once in a while.
Yes.
She has written one book called Business Launch, How to Build a Business in 13 Weeks, and is working on her second book titled Serendipity, where she takes us with her through her life-changing adventures in Africa. Oh, I can't wait to see that. I can't wait
too.
To read it.
I need to finish that one.
By the way, when she isn't busy helping entrepreneurs and empowering others, she can be found cooking, baking, hiking, napping, Netflixing, and African dancing. It must all come from there.
Yes. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm so excited to have you all with us. Now, Tabitha, I'm going to ask you the first question.
Great.
What are some things that your clients are able to accomplish through empowerment?
Oh, my gosh. So many things. Almost everything comes from a sense of empowerment. So from starting a business to even verbalizing an idea, Tabitha, I have this really great idea. I think I want to start a business. What do you think? It takes empowerment and courage to say that. I've had many business owners quit their full-time jobs and step into the business that they started a year before, a year and a half, 2 years later. I had one client actually move across the country and pursue his dream job, something that he never, ever thought that he could do. I've had high schoolers audition for Broadway plays and senior citizens step into adventure again to find happiness after the loss of a spouse. So lots of different examples of empowerment.
Well, that's great. And Stephanie or Kasia, do you have anything to add? things that you've seen about that, when you, how you can help empower, what are some of the results from empowerment?
I know for my clients, particularly since so many of them are family-owned businesses, the empowerment that they tend to experience is reclaiming that part of their personal life that tends to get trampled on because they work together. That line between what's professional and what's personal gets very blurry very fast. And I think it creates a lot of emotional and financial confusion when you work together, particularly spouses who work together. So I've seen them recapture their sense of power over their own time, their relationship, their sense of self as something that functions independently from the business and isn't dependent on their business. And that's been very liberating for them.
That's great. And Kasha, I know you work with people to help them maintain and achieve a healthy lifestyle. Right. What kind of results are you seeing?
Oh, I've heard some amazing stories and seen amazing stories of people who have discovered a new relationship with food and what they put on their skin, in their bodies, and how they've been able to either lose toxic fat or get off medications and just reclaim their health, and to discover how they can control it instead of giving over that power to a drug company or a doctor. And some of the testimonials are just phenomenal.
Thank you. Those are great, great answers. So one of the things that we talk about in empowering is, you know, how are you empowered? Who has empowered you in your life? Mm-hmm. Who wants to take that? And you don't have to wait. You know, you can talk among yourselves, too. This is all interactive.
That's a really good question.
That's a great question.
Well, I would say one person who comes to mind is my therapist, actually. I like to go in for tune-ups 3 or 4 times a year. Something will come up and I can't reconcile it myself. I know that it's occupying a lot of emotional energy for me, mental energy, and it's interfering with my ability to move forward. And so going to talk to someone, I think whether it's a therapist, if it's a trusted advisor, a professional who is in your industry. I mean, I'm a coach. I also have a coach. But I think that what empowers you is getting out of that sense of isolation and seeking out the advice and support of another trusted individual. So definitely one of those people for me has been my therapist, because she helps me process the things that may slow me down or interfere with my growth. And I'm happy that we live in a time where therapy is not stigmatized like it used to be. I think a lot of people now view therapy as a really essential part of their personal growth, and it's people who are committed to growing and developing and evolving and succeeding are the ones who seek out therapy, and it isn't something that you do only when you're in crisis. So that's been a great source for me personally.
That's one, you know, and that's one of the things that's really interesting that you said that. I was at an event last week, and one of the speakers was Brooke Shields. And one of the great things she said, and by the way, she has 2 girls, a 12-year-old and a 15-year-old. And I wanted to tell her, they gets better. It really does get better. And she was like, they're driving me crazy. I said, I know it's going to get better. But anyway, one of the things she said, she talked a lot about confidence and being empowered. She said that positive words give positive actions. Negative words give negative actions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes when we're in the weeds, it's those negative words are getting to us. So if we have someone who can pick us up out of the weeds a little bit and give us those positive words so we can start doing positive actions again, like a therapist or a coach or anybody like that, mm-hmm. it's always a good thing.
Very much.
A good thing. Yeah.
I've also gotten a tremendous amount of empowerment and guidance from books. I'm just a voracious reader, and I always want to be learning something. So I look for recommendations and then I'll read it. And I think that it just kind of soaks into your whole being. So books, classes, any kind of education mm-hmm. that's continuing is really important.
I've had some really amazing people be centers of empowerment for me. And what's interesting is that this might be a different way of looking at it, but it really started for me in college with a philosophy professor. Because before you can be empowered, I think you have to realize that you have a choice. Because then you can choose your right and perfect path and your authenticity. Mm-hmm. And so being an 18-year-old, you know, fresh in college and thinking, I'm going to be a straight-A student and I got this all figured out, my first philosophy teacher kind of showed me that maybe I wasn't thinking for myself and I was doing what I was supposed to do, mm-hmm. what a good, you know, person, girl of my age was supposed to do. So that really opened up this new perspective of what do I think? What do I want? What do I need? Do I have needs? Is it okay to have needs? Am I allowed to do that? And so from there, like Kasia said, oh my gosh, I started devouring books. Great philosophers like Socrates and Plato, Lao Tzu and the Tao Te Ching, all the way to in my trip to Africa, some of my most amazing empowered teachers were the ones that had nothing, that literally didn't have food or running water, and they smiled and grabbed my hands and said, just enjoy life. Well, no, but I miss my family and I you know, I miss this and I don't have my running. Just enjoy life. Just choose. So before we can choose, we have to know we have the choice to be empowered.
Those are great. That's great. Great conversations. This is a very rich conversation. So if you could give one piece of advice to someone to help them feel more empowered, what would that piece of advice be?
I have an answer. So I am huge on helping all people step courageously into their fear and devouring it. And so that's my mm-hmm. piece of advice. Face your fear. Go for the gut with it. Like just grab it by the horns and approach it. Because that's honestly one of the most empowered feelings I think we all have experienced is when we do it anyway. When we were mm-hmm. terrified and we do it anyway. And when we thought we couldn't do it, but we do it anyway. So go for it. Do the thing that scares you the most right now, today. Go.
And you do it. You do something with four-legged creatures, don't you, to help people get past their fears a little bit?
I have. That's on hold right now. But I have done equine integrated coaching. And so I'm currently looking for a new facility. But in that, we partner with a horse in the coaching discipline and help the client and the horse create this beautiful energy in which the horse now, and this sounds crazy, but I'll just say it. The horse has a way of speaking their truth and their fear and their authenticity for conquering the fear. And so using very specific exercises and it's different from equine therapy. I'm not a counselor. I'm not a therapist. So this is equine integrative coaching.
Mm-hmm. But it's fascinating.
It's really, every session I just leave blown away.
Mm-hmm. It's a really cool process. I did a couple of sessions with Tabby, and it was amazing how the horse responds to you as you're processing things that are very private and very internal. You don't even necessarily have to have the conversation or express your thoughts aloud, and the horse is just responding to your energy. It was really fascinating.
Yeah,
I think we should try to find her a new home for that.
I would love that.
I would love it too.
I'm ready. I'm ready, universe.
To tack on to what Tabby said, I think also to not be afraid to fail, because mm-hmm. you can't, a lot of times you can't succeed without failure. And so many people give up before they find that pony in the pile of doo-doo, you know?
That's so true.
And just to keep going and to, there's so many so many brilliant people who have failed throughout the centuries. And the list is amazing. Like Lincoln is a great example that comes to my to mind. And if he didn't keep going and get back up on his horse, then we never would have had that great president. And there's so many brilliant leaders that
That happens financially a lot. If you look at all the self-made millionaires and billionaires, you'll see how many times they've failed before they finally got it right.
Yeah.
In fact, it's a rite of passage for them. So it's like if you want to become a millionaire or a billionaire, maybe you better practice failing first. Fail forward.
Love it.
Yeah.
And that was the word failure was exactly what came to mind when Pam asked that question. And I spend a lot of time with my clients and even with myself helping them to reframe and substitute the word learning for failure because you can't learn without failing. And I think that there is something a little cultural about America where you have to be a little bit invulnerable if you're in a leadership position. You're supposed to be modeling for everyone else what you expect of them. People are coming to you all day, every day, looking for answers, looking for direction, and having to say, I don't know. That isn't necessarily something that I'm good at. I don't have the answer. You have to have the confidence to not know and then surround yourself with the people who do. So if you can stop thinking of it in terms of, well, I tried and I failed, and replace that with, I tried, I learned, I adjusted, I grew, it's a completely different perspective.
Mm-hmm. What I've encountered a lot working with clients, and especially with one of my key focuses being overcoming fear, is that on the deepest level, most people are afraid of success. Mm-hmm. Because what changes if we fail? Nothing. We're status quo. Everything stays the same. It's easy. It's what we're used to. So empowerment is being afraid to fail, is being afraid to put our necks out there, right? Because then we can succeed. And oh my gosh, how many more people can we empower when we do succeed?
Good point.
Those are great points. Those are great points. So when you think about becoming empowered yourself, how do you fill your own well so that you're empowered? And because if we're not empowered ourselves, it's very difficult to empower somebody else. So if we don't feel like on top of our game, it's hard to be, as you said, you know, people come to you and you want to give them everything you do. What resources do you rely on for inspiration and direction? And I know we've talked about books and we've talked about, you know, therapists and things like that, but maybe there's some other places we can look for the answer to this particular question.
Well, for me, the first thing that comes to my mind isn't something tangible. It's intangible, and that is embracing the word no. No is very powerful. This might be a gross generalization, so for the gentlemen who are listening, my apologies, but... But I think that women in particular really struggle with saying no. We're used to running the house. Those of us who have kids are running around and doing what we need to for our kids. We're running around doing what we need to for business. We're networking. I think that women, more often than men, at least in my experience, really feel that caretaker role naturally. And they take on a lot of other people's responsibilities, other people's burdens, and tend to make them their own. And I know I've certainly obligated myself to many things over the years that I probably shouldn't have had to. Thus my routine appearances with my therapist, just to make sure I stay on the straight and narrow. But I think learning how to politely say no and protect healthy boundaries is something that can instantly give you your power back, and it costs you nothing other than a few moments of discomfort.
That's great.
For me, taking some time to myself to have a little quiet time ritual, maybe some journaling or reading or just that space, giving myself that space. It's sort of like a mini vacation, even if it's, or meditation. Meditation is really a great way to recharge. If I could take a walk in the desert, a vacation would be nice. Like
yes.
Beach vacation.
Hawaii.
Yeah, I know you're good at that. And yeah, there was something else I was going to say. But I'll leave it at that for now. But yes, having that, making sure that you give yourself that little Sabbath, mm-hmm. at least a day off a week where it's for you, and being with the people that you love, being with people who are fun, that uplift you. And that is another thing, choosing friends that are that have a positive outlook, that are also of the same mind, or that you can learn from or grow with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you ladies are saying. Actually, I do a lot of things to fill my cup up. I think you said fill your well, and sometimes it's also being willing to be vulnerable, like Stephanie was saying about, you know, I'm a human being too. And sometimes your clients, at least mine, really appreciate hearing that. Mm-hmm. And so those are moments of empowerment where I realize I don't have to carry it all sometimes. And asking for help can be a big sense of empowerment, because mm-hmm. I really do resonate with what Stephanie was saying. I call it the empowered no, right?
Yes.
And so the other thing that is really, for me, one of the biggest senses of empowerment is dance. And I was told growing up that I did not have the body type for dance, that I was not a dancer, that I will never be a dancer. And so when I discovered my passion for dance, it was really, I mean, how scary is it to stand in front of a bunch of people and dance and have them potentially judge you?
Yeah.
So I really go back to dance often when I'm feeling scattered, when I'm feeling unsure. I just like to dance. And sometimes that's in my kitchen, and sometimes it's at a class, and that's okay. So find what works for you.
Movement is really important. Just any kind of movement, getting the juices flowing, mm-hmm. it really recharges.
Yoga, yeah.
Yeah.
Movement is
going
beautiful.
For a walk.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. Being outside.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just getting out of your own way, getting out of your head, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just putting the your attention on something besides yourself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I know I used to have that. My mother used to tell me that. She says, you're thinking too much about yourself. You need to think about everybody else. And then you will stop feeling worried or afraid or any kind of negativity, because you're going to be focused on making life better for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And she always told me to do that. So it was one of those things. So we have a lot of great things that are coming out of here. So meditation is one. And I know there's some great apps if you need guided meditation. Mm-hmm. I know I'm the best-selling author of a book called Wealth Amplified, and I have a program called Wealth Amplified as well. And when you take that program, you have access to three different guided meditations that were recorded that are very powerful in putting you in a in gratitude and in abundance. So they're all
nice.
Very important on that. I am also a financial advisor here in town. At the Hopman Group is the name of my company, up on Sunrise. And we work with women, we work with men, and we're helping you achieve your financial dreams and goals is what we work with people to do. So movement's the other one, and you talked about that. And I know that, you know, going to a workout or dancing, and, you know, it makes you feel great when you see someone dancing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very empowering and freeing to see someone doing self-expressed dance, mm-hmm. whether it's African dance or any other kind of dance, even if it's just rock and roll, mm-hmm. and somebody's moving to the beat.
Yeah.
You got to feel good when you see somebody doing that. It makes everybody feel good about that. So those are all wonderful ways of refilling the well. And I think the other is to have a conversation. Like, mm-hmm. with somebody very close in your life, because I know one of the people that I always lean on is my husband, Paul. Mm-hmm. And he is there for me. He's one of the most empowering people in my life, because he wants to support me in everything I'm up to. So if you surround yourself with people like that, you're going to have you're going to have great empowerment. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's a funny thing. They've discovered that attitudes and moods are contagious. So if you're surrounding yourself with people with negative attitudes and negative moods, it's natural for you to start to go down that path. So you need to surround yourself with people with positive talk, positive emotions.
Mm-hmm. Law of attraction in action.
Law of attraction.
Mm-hmm. And it's yeah.
Yeah.
Immunity boost.
Immunity boost. Yes, Kasha has a lot of extra things in her and her little bag of tricks that will help you refill your well as well. As well as well. Yeah. So what do you do? How do you empower others in business? Let's talk about the business side of it now. We've done a little bit on the personal, although they overlap all the time.
So if I can start, I have found that what helps the most is to educate everyone, including business owners, especially business owners, on the inner critic. So in coaching, we have these terms, the inner critic and the higher self. And Freud and Carl Jung, our founders of psychology, called this the ego and the id. And in hypnotherapy, they call this the critical factor. So this is documented scientifically, psychologically. This is not Tabitha's woo-woo theory. And the inner critic is simply that negative voice of doubt that lives within. Everyone has one. It sounds different, it looks different, and it feels different. And yet no one wants to talk about it, because then we're all cray cray. But we're not. Everyone has this. I'm suspicious even like the Dalai Lama has it, their most enlightened person on the face of the earth, because this is a part of humanity. And so I like to scientifically, physiologically, and psychologically address how the inner critic was born, how it developed, so that we unhook the emotional scary monster charge that it has, and we can now approach it through a lens of logic. And so by talking about the elephant in the room, I guess, that negative voice of doubt that says, what if I fail? What if I do this? What if I can't pay the bills? You know, that all business owners have. We can really overcome that voice that terrifies us and that stops us.
And it comes from the primitive life, when you really needed that doubt, because if you didn't have it, the dinosaur was going to step on you or eat you.
Yes.
And so it was the fright or flight kind of situation. And it is a remnant of that time that we have this voice still in our heads telling us to not do things because it's trying to protect us.
Yeah. And according to the experts, whoever they are, because there's a lot of experts, right? There's two actual fears that we're born with. The rest are learned. Can you guys guess what they are?
Fear of death.
Actually, no.
That's learned?
Fear of public speaking?
Nope. Fear of falling and loud noises.
Really?
Oh, well, that makes
Everyone
sense.
Jumps when there's a loud noise, right?
Yeah.
And then fear of falling. The rest is learned. Learned behavior.
So public speaking is a learned behavior. Although supposedly
seems pretty real.
It was supposedly a bigger fear than the fear of death.
Yeah.
Depending on, I don't know exactly who they asked that question of or what that cohort was that they used to come up with that answer, but it is recorded that fear of public speaking ranks above fear of death. Yeah. Mm.
Fear of being on the radio.
It all ties back to our perfectionism in the inner critic. You know, what if we trip up? What if we get tongue-tied? What if we can't come across as fluidly as Terry Gross? God forbid.
I know. So, yeah, perfectionism might be a hang-up for business owners, right?
I think perfectionism is a huge hang-up.
Yeah.
One of the things that I do in my practices, I use behavioral analysis, and I'm a big fan of the DISC because it's so easy to use the DISC on the fly. I like Myers-Briggs, but there's 16 possible personalities that you can have. DISC is really behavioral, and there's four and usually we're a combination of two. So it's a lot easier to understand. It's a down and dirty application you can use when you're in a sales meeting. But in terms of how to empower business owners, I think a lot of it comes down to moving what we sense to be true about ourselves into our consciousness and then acting on it. I do a DISC assessment on every client I work with. And it's always so interesting to me, the aha moments that come out of reading four sets of numbers. And not necessarily for me, but for the individual who took the assessment, because they sense these things to be true about themselves, but they haven't made, A, the connection to how that motivates their choices in their business, and B, they find it liberating that it's okay to say, you know what, these other tasks or these people-oriented events that I've been trying to force myself to go to and I really never enjoy them, they feel liberated because they can see there is an actual quantifiable result that says, yeah, you're not wired that way. It's just not part of your internal makeup, and that's okay. So moving their focus toward the things where they excel, they enjoy them, they feel fulfilled by them, and then figuring out how do we parcel out the rest of the things that your business needs to be successful, but they don't have to be dependent just on you. I think that that gives people a tremendous sense of power.
Can you give us a story of someone who had a great, like the light bulb went off and all of a sudden they were like, oh, I don't have to do this anymore. And it just totally transformed their world, basically.
Oh, that is a good question. God, there's a lot of examples.
I know you've had so many, so.
I know, I'm thinking of a, like an amalgamation, so I can protect the innocent.
Right. We don't want to call anyone out. But if you could tell the story,
I would say probably a good example would be business owners I've worked with over the years, and this has happened repeatedly, where they have employees, they have a well-established business, and yet everything still depends on their every decision. No one is empowered to run the day-to-day of the business except for them. And they're really starting to feel the weight of that and the pressure on it because they've been doing it for years. I mean, if you've been in business for 10 years and you have employees and you can't go on vacation for at least 7 to 10 days without everything catching on fire, that's a problem. You're paying payroll for a reason. So I think in instances like with the DISC and behavioral analysis, getting them to realize that they're probably taking twice the amount of time that's necessary to get certain tasks done, whereas if they trained up an employee who's loyal to the company and has performed beautifully and they really care about the core values of the business, get them involved as a management team, part of a management team. Get a core group of executives together where they're starting to take over the day-to-day of the business and the things that the owner doesn't excel at, and the owner can continue focusing just on the vision, being the face of the business, going out into the community, cultivating the relationships that the business needs to thrive long-term. It transforms not only the business, but the owner suddenly enjoys owning a business again, and the employees who have been asked to step up really feel empowered. They feel much more invested. And suddenly, you're tapping into skills you really didn't even know were there because you never asked. So everyone benefits. I had a client this year who was able to spend time at his second home out of state, I think for 6 weeks over the summer, because his core executive team is running things like a top. So, and that has transformed him compared to where he was when he first started working with me. So that was really exciting to see that.
That's a great story. Tabitha, you have one?
I have two that are coming to mind. So on a life side, I had a grandma that I was working with. And I think a lot of women in our culture feel a sense of dutifulness to help with grandkids and to be present and to kind of at that point in their lives be the grandma. And within six sessions, she realized, and I use a similar thing to DISC. I actually use DISC, Myers-Briggs, and Enneagram. So I use all three, which are all personality tools that have lots of great juiciness to them. But we realized some of her strengths and some of her not so strengths, right? That is not in her authenticity. And so I kid you not, she actually left Tucson and moved to exactly where she wanted to be. Everything that was in her heart, she did.
That's great.
And she just seized the day and she did it. And she has loving, wonderful family relationships and it's beautiful and she's living her dream and loving life and enjoying that, you know, chapter that she's in right now. And it's beautiful. So that was really amazing to watch her stand in such hesitation and such guilt and shame, I think, from a cultural standpoint, and then to do it anyway, to just go for it and take care of her. From a business standpoint, this might seem like a strange example, but I had a client that, with really authentically getting to the heart of their strengths, realized that they could not do marketing in a traditional way. It was so uncomfortable. Like, I'd never seen someone become a ghost and like turn white and, I mean, shake from, you know, head to toe. And so we were able to really hone in on an authentic marketing plan just for them that worked for them and their personality. And it's just beautiful to see them shine and to attract clients in a very different way than what you would expect as a business owner to market their business. So sometimes the least likely path can be the most successful if we're looking at their strengths, like Stephanie is saying, and what authentically is how they're hardwired.
Yes.
How about you, Kasia? You got a great story?
Well, my business is a network marketing business. So what I do, I also teach other people to do so that they can make money at, you know, in their own way, whatever, part-time, working part-time alongside what they're already doing, or if they want to start a whole career, replace a present job. And so one of the stories is a client who gave birth to her first child, and she was working full-time, and she took maternity leave, and she didn't want to go back to work after her baby was born. She wanted to stay home with her son. So she had discovered the products and lost a lot of her baby weight and regained a lot of energy, and she fell in love with them, and she found out that she could do what I was doing and stay home with her son. So she decided to just start her own business. And that's very empowering, I think, to be able to give someone the choice to choose to stay home with their children instead of putting them in daycare. And also, she has since grown an organization and taught other people to do what she's doing. So it's really this wonderful ripple effect. And the way that we do it also is by doing service. Everything is helping each other, either to achieve health, financial freedom, or you know, or start a whole business, whatever they want to do. So to give them that choice and.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. It's, you know, it's wonderful. I have a story, too.
I was about to say, how about you, Pam? Yeah.
I do. I have a story. So it was a number of years ago. Before I came to Tucson, I was working with a woman, and it's very interesting. It was before I developed my behavioral analysis tool, the money profile, but she was definitely what we call a tortoise in the money profile. And that's someone who lives below their means, saves a lot of money, hates change, and basically is like the millionaire next door. If you've read that book, you'll understand the personality type.
Mm-hmm.
She came to me and she said, I really like to retire, but I don't think I have enough money. And she had her savings spread out in so many different places, she'd never added it all together. When I added it all together, it was well over $1 million.
Wow. Nice.
And one of her dreams, she was from India, and one of her dreams was to set up, what do they call them in India? You probably know.
An ashram.
She wanted to set up an ashram, and she figured she couldn't afford to do so. So after we spoke, she realized that she actually could do all of the things that she wanted to do. So it was really, I was able to tell her, go ahead and do it.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
Yeah, and I was able to help bring everything together so she could keep track of it a little bit better as well. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. So we've answered a lot of the questions that I had, but I know there's a few more. Let's see. Personal. How do you positively impact others in the personal side?
I hug people a lot.
I like your hugs, Stephanie. They're nice hugs.
Well, thank you. I mean them. Every coaching meeting ends with a hug. Half my clients are men, and they know before they leave the office, they have to bend down and hug my little 5'2" self. It's cute. They all line up at the door, and they hug me. I love it. Some people just need TLC. That's absolutely, I mean, I said it as a joke, but now that I'm thinking about it, sometimes people just need kind human contact, especially if I just spent 2 hours with you and I'm holding you accountable. What kind of actions did you get done? We're talking about the big picture and your strategic planning and the state of your finances, and we're going over all of these things that may or may not cause you a certain level of discomfort, and you're really having to think things through. And at the end of 2 hours, like, you've earned a hug, man. I mean, yeah,
but you do ask permission. Let's not get you in trouble here.
I do ask, do you hug? I've never been turned down yet.
Nice. I think a big thing that just can be so positive to anyone is to hold space. To truly mm-hmm. hold space and to deeply listen in a world that has, you know, gosh, 2 second attention span, I think was the latest statistic between social media and television and radio and all different things. And when you can deeply listen to someone and hold space for whatever's coming up, tears, laughter, anger, mm-hmm. fear, empowerment, joy, oh my gosh, I think that they actually feel heard.
Yes.
And empowered, right? Going back to empowerment.
Yeah.
So I think just those two simple things can be so positive, and yet we don't get it enough.
And not judging them. Oh, like really hearing all of, I mean, they're putting their baggage out on the table for us to see and for us to help them work through.
Right.
And not judging that and not compounding their anxiety and just taking it for what it is and then helping them move through it. I think when they know that they can have very difficult conversations in a very safe space, people can do a lot of really deep work.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you guys find that with health and wellness and financial.
People come to you in a very vulnerable place.
And also, I find that paying people compliments, really looking for something that is positive about someone and acknowledging that,
mm-hmm.
it just, you see their face light up.
Yeah. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially when they know you really mean it.
Yeah.
Yeah, a true compliment.
Mm-hmm. A true compliment. Mm-hmm. But you could always find something.
You can.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Pam? I mean, when people are talking to you about money, there's so much emotional baggage attached to money. What do you do to help allay their fears?
Well, I think the most important thing is active listening.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. You can't, you can't be in touch, you can't relate to somebody if you're not actively listening and taking in where they're coming from. You have to be able to have that situational awareness mm-hmm. of what's going on in their life and why they're there and what's the important thing to you. I do give hugs sometimes with permission. I do that.
But I can testify to that.
And you always want to acknowledge people when they come to you with their finances. Almost 90% of the time, they're a little self-conscious, think they haven't done a very good job or as good a job as they should have. They're afraid of being judged. And so you always want to acknowledge that they have done what they've done and they're where they're at. And you know what? They've done a good job.
Yeah.
For whatever it is. You know, and same thing with, you know, you have to think about staff that way too. I mean, I make a practice of acknowledging my staff regularly. And, you know, mm-hmm. we do team building every once in a while and we do fun mm-hmm. things. But when you have a staff, it's easy to just go in and keep telling them what to do all the time and just, you know, get this done and you didn't do that. And what about this? And how about this person? And did you follow up on this? And did you confirm that? But you always have to take a step back at least once or twice a week, maybe more often if I think about it, and just say thank you for everything you've done today.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard that saying, people prefer praises to raises? Have you ever heard that?
Yes, yeah. I have heard that. A little bit of appreciation and gratitude goes such a long way. Mm-hmm. I think more than anything, you know, whether you express it through a hug or active listening, or I think that people really just want to be acknowledged for trying mm-hmm. and kind of set that tone that it's all right if you made a mistake. We'll figure it out. Just stop beating yourselves up. So much energy goes into focusing on what doesn't get done and what wasn't 100% and what wasn't correct. And that's not what any of us are here to help people do. We're not out for perfection. We're striving for progress. And that's all you can ask of yourself.
Well, mm-hmm. and this is the opportunity in these situations to be empowering and to mm-hmm. cause people to become empowered in what they're doing. You know, and that's what we're talking about today. So, you know, if you think about the situation in your personal life and your professional life, everywhere, the way you treat people, the way you are with everybody mm-hmm. makes the difference. You know, mm-hmm. are you empowering that person? Or are you pulling that person down? Are you, you know, what difference can you make for them?
That's one quick tip I have kind of that is along these lines is for those who are listening who lead staff meetings or any kind of team meeting, start the meeting by acknowledging a few things that have happened since your last meeting that are positive. I don't care how small they are. There is a difference between kindness and coddling. We're not out to coddle people, but if you want their attention and you want them to be open to what's possible, or you want them to really hear something that may be hard and difficult, at least start by celebrating with them something that they did right, something that was good, something that had a great effect, whether on them or on a customer. It puts everyone in the right frame of mind for whatever lies ahead with your agenda. And it takes a minute.
And you need to know who you're talking to. So, like, for instance, you use the DISC. So different, the D, the I, the S, the C, different. Each one wants a different kind of acknowledgement.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so yes. if you can customize the acknowledgement mm-hmm. to fit the people that you're working with, however they fit into that, you'll have a much happier group. I mean, and you're right. Some people want raises, though. Some of that group mm-hmm. want raises. Some of that group want praises. Some of those people would like you to find something unusual for them that they won't buy for themselves.
Right.
You know, they would prefer that to money. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways mm-hmm. of working with the different people in that profile.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's also important when we're positively empowering others to have belief and faith in them. Because mm-hmm. how hard is it to have that in ourselves most days?
Yeah.
Right? Whether it's business yeah. or personal, oh my gosh. And so whether we're a coach or an advocate or a financial advisor or just a friend, you know, just a friend or even a stranger on the street, how can we have faith and belief that they can do it? Because sometimes it's a lot easier for us to believe in others than for us to believe in ourselves.
Especially if people are coming to you and they've had something happen in their personal life that has really rocked their confidence. Mm-hmm. And you're the outside objective third party. You know this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. But they're the ones who are going through it. And mm-hmm. it doesn't feel like that to them. So kind of appreciating where you're working with them at their particular stage in life and helping them slowly but surely on their terms move past that and on the path you know they're totally capable of mm-hmm. is really important. I think that that's a good acknowledgement, Tabby.
Yeah. Kasia, do you have anything else to add on that?
Well, I think that I was just thinking about what she said about believing in someone. And I've been on the receiving end of that. And I can tell you, it just kept me going. Mm-hmm. I wanted to give up. Mm-hmm. And someone said to me, I believe in you. I know you could do it. You've got it. And I wouldn't be spending time with you, coaching you, if I didn't believe in you. And it really worked. So
yeah,
it's very empowering. Yeah.
Okay, final words. Any last words? And please let our listeners know how they can reach you.
Final words.
On empowerment.
Amen. No.
I guess I'll start. It is my true belief that every single person on this planet is exquisitely, authentically beautiful. I feel like that's the gift that I was given. And I see that. I see that in people. And I see that they're not living in their gifts because they're afraid. They're not shining their fullest light because they're afraid. And so my parting words are, what are you waiting for? You have a story to tell. You have a light to shine. You have a life to live. And fear is what's stopping you. And so conquer that fear. Work every day to be empowered over the fear. And you can reach me on my website, www.thedivinesophia.com. And you can get a hold of me through there. And I'm Tabitha.
I would say, Kasia,
no, go ahead.
Yeah. I would say for those who are feeling really stuck and like your efforts are stagnating, make a connection with one person who is further along in their path than you are. Maybe they've got a little more experience under their belt than you do, and connect with them. Go out and have coffee with them. But trying to double down and solve your problem yourself is just going to make things worse. I would expand your circle. And I would be more social and not isolate yourself and think that you're going to somehow divine the answer all alone. For those who are listening who are not stuck and who are well on their way on their path and who feel really good about where they're at, I would encourage you to not be shy about how you got there. The more we can leverage our learning to help someone else, the more fulfilling those experiences become. And it makes whatever you went through that was hard worthwhile, because you know it not only wound up serving you, but it could serve someone else. And my name is Stephanie Rising. I own The Rising Effect. My web address is therisingeffect.com. And my cell number is 271-7918.
Area code 520.
Thank you for adding that. That is not a habit.
What I'd like to add, and I agree totally with both of you. And what I would like to add is that you are unique. You have unique gifts to share with the world. Again, don't be shy about it, but don't compare yourself to others.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because you have something to offer, and just don't be afraid. Well, you can be afraid, but
just do it anyway.
Call Tabitha. And and eat clean. I can be, my name is Kasia Yuska, and my website is kasiayuska.arbonne.com. I'll spell it kasiayuska.arbonne.com. And my phone number is 520-370-3177.
So thank you, my wonderful, wonderful guest. You did a marvelous job on talking about empowerment today. And I'm Pam Hopman. I'm the owner of the Hopman Group at 3561 East Sunrise, Suite 131. Our phone number is 520-326-1625. You can find our website, www.thehopmangroup.com, and contact us that way, there as well. And I'm also the best-selling author of Wealth Amplified. And Wealth Amplified is the five-step process to take you from making more money, keeping more money, and loving your life. So I hope you'll take a look at that as well. Thanks again to my wonderful guests.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
We're going to do this again another time, and have a wonderful evening.